This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked, locked. Hour number two of USA Prepares. Charles in Ohio is with us. And, class, if you're reading between the lines, what you have heard, and if you put together this broadcast class with previous broadcast classes with the other instructors, what you've heard is that Charles and Bert, Dr. Norm Shealy, and Rich Sheban, and Gwyneth, and Kathy, and Sharon, and Kyle, and all the rest of us are not satisfied with the way things are. I'm not talking politically necessarily. I'm just talking in general. We want to make it better. We know we can make it better. And the reason I mention these anecdotal stories about things that I've done, if I can do these things as a young man on the racetrack, if I can do these things, imagine if we put together the forces and people are really good at physics and engineering and had the laboratories and the funding to do it. Imagine that. Imagine what could be accomplished. If I can take a 1996 Mercedes that got combined 27 miles to the gallon and got it to get 44 to 47 miles per gallon, and I know I can bring it to 50 plus if I were to violate the law, but by not violating the law, I'm kind of stuck at 47. I know I can make these vehicles more efficient. That's what Charles is telling you. We have failed to utilize the energy in the vehicles because of laws, regulations, etc. And we are succumbing to greed of the wealthy. They're running the show. He mentioned Paul Pantone. Paul Pantone was a really neat guy. He was born in 1950, a couple years older than I. I met him, and he was unveiling his technology. And what happens? He got arrested. Now, I know that he was getting about 70 miles per gallon in his little Chrysler Slant 6 car. I saw it. He ran his Chrysler car on a lawnmower carburetor. And he took the fuel-air mixture. Here's how he did it. Charles, I don't know if you're aware of this. He took the air-fuel mixture from a lawnmower carburetor, like on a little rotary push mower, you know, 3 horsepower back then, 3.5. And he ran that gas-air mixture through a heat exchanger, a catalytic cracker. He really heated it up to a real high temperature, and then he brought it into a standard engine. You know, pistons, rings, bearings, camshaft, lifters, you know, all that. Standard engine. And because he was able to get the fuel to be consumed, burned more efficiently, he was able to get more miles per gallon. That's how he did it. I saw it. We can do better. Charles?
Exactly. He also used the nickel catalyst, which is part of the closed fuel system, like I say. And just to clarify, because every word you say and even every word I say, it brings up five things I'd like to insert into the conference. But anyway, nickel shift catalyst that turns it back into a burnable gas. And see, that's like Thomas Ogle's 100 mile per gallon was a onboard refining process, he added. Well, the closed fuel system is a It's a hydrocarbon reformer. It takes a product, gasoline, and it's taking the exhaust gas, and it turns it back into a product of higher BTU content. So you're getting more energy for what you're putting in. I mean, out the exhaust, you get a higher octane, more valuable gas out. And that's hydrogen carbon dioxide coming out, I believe. Don't quote me on that one.
Let's contrast that to what we're doing right now. So instead of taking the exhaust gas and bringing it to a higher level of BTU or energy content, what we're literally doing, class, in your cars, the ones that you have in your garage or in your parked on the street or in your driveway, those cars, yours. Your car has what's called an EGR valve, exhaust gas recirculation. Now, I'm going to be real crude here in a minute, but your car takes the exhaust gas, the fumes that would come out of the tailpipe, and it sends it right back in to be burned, raw. And what it does is it causes lower combustion temperatures because you can measure the pollutants as being less. But you're wasting fuel doing that, wasting an enormous amount of fuel doing that. Now, that would be like you calling the plumber and saying, hey, can you come on over because we got a really great idea here. My husband and I would like to hook up the toilet to our kitchen sink because we know that instead of flushing all that waste down into the sewer system, we can cook with it and we can drink it as a beverage. That's what an exhaust gas recirculation valve does. Charles, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, one thing, exhaust gas recirculation, like you're saying, this is an analogy. It relates to the standard fuel system and waste and burning fuel and burning fuel efficiently. Well, guess what? Like you say, putting that exhaust back into the engine is harmful. What it does, it reduces the engine's volumetric efficiency because of the increased temperature of that gas. It displaces the clean air fuel mixture, and it's a loss because it is like an inert gas. But what I'm saying is, rather than jamming it right back into the engine, that way you catalytically treat it first in the nickel shift catalyst, and it turns it back into a burnable gas of higher content, of higher
right. I'm in total agreement with you. What I'm saying is these are two different processes.
Yep.
One, the current process uses waste exhaust gas, which will kill you if you breathe
yes.
it, and it dumps it into the engine to make sure that your engine does not get as much oxygen in the air of the combustion process, because the oxygen is displaced, as Charles said, by the exhaust gas, which is hot. So if you test the pollution, you'll find it's a little bit less. But it's the dumbest thing on the planet, because if you have a diesel engine, which is sooty to begin with, and you take the exhaust gas from that and you dump it into the intake system, you're going to coat the valves and you're going to plug up the intake system. And every 50,000 miles, you're going to have to go through an expensive process to get that old soot. Literally, you'd have to have a chimney cleaner. That's what it is for your engine. That's what's going on. It's crazy. But that's what your government and the automobile manufacturers are doing right here, right now. And they've been doing it for well over 20 years. Back to you.
Yes. Like I said, I think that's an important point. To alleviate some of that, people, and what they did, a lot of this so much relates back to what they did in the 20s and 30s, and currently some people. A little bit of water injection will help to clean the engine and remove carbon.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I can prove this to you, class. We have two blue 1994 Chevrolet 6.5 turbo diesel powered trucks. One of them is a full-size Blazer. It's the size of a Silverado pickup truck, but it's a Blazer. They only made 500 of these. So one of them is powered by a 6.5 liter turbo diesel engine. The other is a Suburban. Same color, same year, same engine, except for one thing. The Suburban diesel makes more horsepower, more torque. There's only one difference in the engine, one. The Suburban is considered a 2500 series, so it's a three-quarter ton truck. So it was exempt from the air pollution controls of a lesser weight vehicle, like a 1500 series Chevrolet. So the Blazer is a 1500 series. It has the pollution controls, specifically the EGR valve, the exhaust gas recirculation valve. It has that. The other one is identical to it, but it doesn't have exhaust gas recirculation. Makes more horsepower, is more efficient, works better, has no problems compared to the one that eats its own waste. We have both of them right here. And when you buy an intake manifold gasket, and that's where the exhaust gas is recirculated through the intake system, there are punch-outs. So you can punch out or not punch out the ports to allow exhaust gas recirculation to go back into your engine. You can pick that when you put in a new intake manifold. You can decide. And you got to be stupid to let your engine eat its own exhaust, especially a diesel. Any comments, Charles?
Nope, exactly true. Things like that, even what the factory did, they've been experimenting. Well, individual inventors are the ones who started exhaust gas recirculation, and they did it correctly. They took it and could do it, and they could, and they, some people, did ways to meter the gas, and some cooled it, and they fed it back to the engine, and they could show a benefit to it. But the, but like you say, the factory does it in a way to make you use more gasoline. and see, the one thing, the factory does in the auto manufacturers, they want to debunk and tell people that these systems don't work and they've tested them and they can't be used. Well, one point they bring up, they'll bring up first, or even like the vapor fuel system, is they say that, you get drastically increased nitrous oxide emissions and like, Vince is saying, to reduce nitrous oxide emissions, they will introduce the exhaust gas to heat it up, heat up the mixture, displaced part of it, and effectively what it does, it reduces the compression ratio of an engine, and it makes it, and that reduces nitrous oxide emissions. But all of these things, there are other ways to get around them, and people, after, say, the thing, well, back to the point of evolution, I like to say that they took this back when Thomas Ogle did it, and before he demonstrated he could go 100 miles to a gallon, they knew and had tested before he did it, because Standard Oil had a patent on the same system, except Standard Oil used it, a small volume of vaporized gas only for idle, and they said benefits in black and white print in their patent application.
My dad told me when he was alive, probably back in the 60s, that there was a 100-mile-per-gallon carburetor. And the oil companies bought it up, bought up the patents, and you don't see it. Because they wanted you to get 10 miles to the gallon. We'll be right back.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Everything that Charles is saying is absolutely true, class. I bought an old 2001 Chevrolet pickup truck, and I didn't like the miles per gallon. I was supposed to get like 16 or 17 miles per gallon. I thought that was ridiculous. So I tweaked it, and I'm up to 23. I'm not happy. I'll be a lot happier when I get it to, you know, over 25 or so. Right now, a 2021 Chevrolet Silverado, same badge, same size designation, Silverado 1500. That's what I have in the 2001. The current mile per gallon estimate is 17. These big-faced, argumentative-looking grills on these big trucks of today, they don't need to be that big. 17 miles per gallon is an absolute outrage. It doesn't have to be that way. The automakers are going the wrong way. They're absolutely going the wrong way. They could make a much more efficient car, much more efficient truck, but they're not. Because a generally dumb public wants to have a grill that you can see in your rearview mirror that looks like he's going to eat you for lunch. Charles?
Yeah. They market to the people. And that's one thing about the cars they provide us that just disintegrate after a certain amount of time is they do so much research to ensure that it keeps the initial buyer happy and that it blows up in the face of the people who buy used cars. They only know in general, but they know the number in the majority of people in, that purchase cars, how long they're going to keep them. That's who they want to make happy. And they're very, I admire them. And, you know, I might talk about Rockefeller and Adolf Hitler and Henry Ford and say I admire them. Well, I admire what they accomplished. I don't agree with them, but I can admire how they have single-minded and took the bull by the horns and drove an entire world in the direction they thought things should go. But
Class, I know Charles doesn't mean that he admires the fact that Adolf Hitler set the world on fire, along with the Japanese. The Axis powers set the world on fire in World War II. He's not talking about that. What he is talking about, I believe, is that Adolf Hitler is the father of the Autobahn, the high-speed, safe roadway, the Volkswagen, the bug or beetle, the car for the people that got great economy. It was simple. It was durable. It was long-lasting. I think that's what he's talking about, right?
Exactly. I'm talking about the ability to accomplish things, not the things they want to accomplish, but their ability and their sight that where they could take things and steer them to their will, form the world to their. But again, I want to come back for a second to the comparison and evolution. What I want to say that I'm trying to close out the idea of. Their idea of reducing air pollution and correcting greenhouse gas versus what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the closed fuel system, which we hadn't talked about as much as we should have. But I'm thinking that their solution will give us higher taxes, less availability of fuel, and the fuel will be at a higher price because of their taxes and their carbon trading and manipulation versus everyone here gets a closed fuel system that will take an increased fuel efficiency and mileage. For most cars, it will at least double your fuel mileage. And see, we won't have to each of us end up buying a Tesla or electric car from GM, and we can get a decreased cost of operation and a good durable vehicle. And we can retrofit older vehicles with this device. And like I say, from me looking at patents and ideas, I've never seen a good idea for a retrofit that's been implemented or endorsed by a factory. They don't want you to improve what you got. They just want you to buy a new one. So where I might suggest this, and I believe it to be the best solution, do I expect them to do it? No. But I know there are so many people out there that are capable of building a car. So we'll go to break.
Yeah, one guy that tried to make a real safe car was a guy named John DeLorean. Tried to make a stainless steel car and one that wouldn't rust. Had some problems, had a lot of problems when he was trying to build it. But he got involved in a drug scandal, tried to fuel his DeLorean Car Company. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. The Senate has voted to begin work on a nearly $1 trillion national infrastructure plan. Acting with sudden speed after weeks of fits and starts, once the White House and a bipartisan group of senators agreed on major provisions of the package.
To celebrate not only a long overdue much-needed investment in our infrastructure, an investment that administration after administration has called for, but that has not been delivered to the American people, but also to celebrate bipartisanship.
Japanese officials sounded the alarm Thursday as Tokyo reported record-breaking coronavirus cases for the third straight day, with the Olympics well underway. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
The Delta surge could soon be over. USA's Dan Naraki has more.
The CDC announced Tuesday a major change in its mask policy, now recommending that people start wearing masks again in indoor public spaces in areas with high levels of COVID transmission. This applies even if you're vaccinated. The change coming as the Delta variant of the virus has spurred a rise in new infections across the country, especially among those who are unvaccinated. But Dr. Scott Gottlieb says we may be nearing the end of the wave of infections. The former FDA commissioner tells CNBC that the U.S. may soon be following the trajectory that the U.K. has experienced.
We were probably about 3 weeks behind the U.K. The U.K. clearly is on a downslope. They've seen an uptick in the last day, but they've seen a sustained trend over the last week of declining cases. I would expect some of the southern states that really were the epicenter of this epidemic to start rolling over in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Now, the problem is that this is a big country, and we're going to see the epidemic sweep across the country in different portions at different times.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
A Florida man was definitely not mad when his dog's barking woke him up in the middle of the night. He says those barks saved him from a raging fire. Lisa McDonald, a spokesperson for Orange County Fire Rescue.
So the homeowner should definitely thank his pet for waking him up.
Oh, she's my hero. I love my dog and, you know, it's amazing.
For USA Radio News, I'm Brad Bernards.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
So during the break, I just ran out to the barn. And I got behind the push broom and I pushed some water, about 50 gallons of water, around the concrete pads that I'm trying to slow the cure on. Now, why am I telling you this when Charles is talking about automobile efficiency? There's a tie-in. It's really simple. You've been hearing me say this for all over a month that I've been doing this. The reason is, if you do a little bit of research, you can find better ways of doing things. Which is kind of like what Charles and I have been talking about with automobile efficiency, making your car get more miles per gallon, that kind of a thing. And just by keeping the concrete cool, something as simple as that, keeping the sun from drying it out too quickly, I can virtually guarantee that the concrete's not going to crack like everybody else's. So if I'm putting thousands of dollars into concrete, why would I not want it to be the best I could get it to be? Why would you not want your vehicles and everything else in your life to be the best that it can be? That's what we teach here at USA Prepares. Charles?
Yes, the heat will remove the moisture, and water will tend to hydrate and keep that water in there and give a longer time for it to cure. Interesting. I mean, that's one of the many things I hear on your program. And and what I'm talking about evolution is by keeping the close to 100 mile per gallon carburation system from us, they have stifled innovation. And the thing is, it's a stepping stone to the, and the closed fuel system, like Paul Pontone did. Another example of it is the U.S. Navy. It operates submarines. The U.S. Navy went all nuclear back in the late 50s because they had all the money in the world, our money. And that's what drives our innovation and our decisions here in the United States is money. Well, around the world, though, they didn't have the benefit of all that cash. So a lot of different navies experimented with the closed fuel system for a diesel engine. And fuels are so important. Gasoline, diesel, propane, all of the different fuels have different aspects to them. But diesel is used a lot in nautical situations because they have a lot of experience with it. And relative to other fuels, because of flash temperatures and ignition and stuff, a diesel can be relatively safe. So they use that in a submarine. But when you use a diesel, for a closed fuel system, you have to feed it with compressed oxygen, which is very dangerous in a closed environment like a submarine. But navies around the world have experimented with it, and they have had success with a closed system using a diesel. And if anybody's familiar, well, there's a couple things on the diesel. One thing is waste disposal. One thing, again, back to global warming and greenhouse gases, the escape of the carbon dioxide from combustion engines is looked at as a detriment, and a lot of it is from power generation. Well, what I'm saying is nuclear is money. It's our money, and it's going up the drain. A lot of people think that we should go more nuclear, and I think that is having a product that makes waste that will be dangerous for 100,000 years and poisonous is not the best solution to a problem. And see, I think they knew this back when they were in the race to create nuclear weapons, but they decided, like I say, America's like in one way it can be related to a ship. While you and I are down in the engine room shoveling coal or working the oars, there are people up, they tell us it's our ship, and we're voting for the captain, but I don't see it that way. We're getting the short end of the stick here. But that just kind of brings us to the third part. I want to talk a little bit about the people who have helped to build our civilization. And this goes back to the early 1900s, 1890s. Well, and what it goes to is the cities, too, and the monarchs. See, one thing that happened, people around the world go to cities for safety, shelter, ease, look for jobs, employment. But it's like when you watch TV, when they send Junior out, he's going to make his way in the world, seek fame and fortune in the city, big city. Well, that's his part, but there's also the people who own the city. Like I say, they tell us we own them, but the thing is, as smoke and mirrors, they're the ones that run it and make the policies. And so when we come into their city, we pay their taxes, we support it, and we send our children to fight their wars. But one thing that started when they built cities was a gas system. Well, to build the great cities like New York and California and America, a couple things required, you know, is gas, water, and electricity. And those come from, like, in New York, when Edison lit the World Fair, he demonstrated he could do that. And he started wiring the cities in there to produce electricity. But before him, there were gas lights. And this is the way you make a city. You have infrastructure and you hire people. And guess what? They collect, they tax you, they collect money, and they provide services. What? Lights on the street at night. And street lights started back in America, like 1851, and they were wax candles, and people would go around and light them every day, every evening. And then it evolved into the gas lights we have now, which they would, for a long time, they would go around and light the gas lights every night. And the thing was, it built a city and a grid, and I think that's what, and see, I wasn't prepared for this. I didn't want to do it, but if I didn't get it out, knowing me, it would just set. But this information, I think, is so important. But we want the, it's the job I want. I mean, back then, to collect people's money and then pay some guy to go out and light candles, it might not be the easiest thing, but it's the start of, like, civil service and government. And civil service and government is good at collecting money, and people in it are good at stealing that money and dividing it up and sending it everywhere. But what they did, they didn't light street lights with natural gas back then because they hadn't discovered it yet. And what they did is they would light, they would have candles, and candle making was an industry back then, and there was a lot of money in it. And every step of the way of this, like I say about Ford and Edison, these people were thinking and could see this, and they were just like our businessmen today, like Musk and Tesla. When they're looking at the future, how to make money and how to make a profit. I mean, I know I can't speak to really what's in men's mind, and I think some of them are, do have high ideas, but I think along with them, as many as there are in great power in the United States, like the presidency, the what floats to the top is the scum a lot of times. And so along with all the good people with good intentions that are in it, there are plenty of bad people with bad intentions that don't care how much they cheat you and how much they squeeze you in these situations too. And that's true then, and it's true now. It's just like we just recently had a scandal here in Ohio on the nuclear power plant. And like I say, nuclear power is just something they stick us with the bill with, and we end up in the end with a handful of nuclear waste that nobody wants. It is the hot potato trying to pass it off to everybody, and what gets passed off is our money. But what they, since they didn't have natural gas, and what they would make was oil gas, and oil gas is made through carburation. You enrich air, atmospheric air, with a hydrocarbon and turn it into a burnable gas you can pump, and it can be made out of wood and tar. And that's what, and what I'm saying is they could see this back then when people were out lighting candles, and candles was a great money industry back then. People with vision could see that this wood and this tar, which they were throwing away when they made kerosene, could be turned into a gas, and they would pump it through cities. And that's what happened when they when the innovators and the pirates seen there was so much money into this, and they come up with the innovation of discovering natural gas, guess what? Competition is sin. There were seven different gas utilities in New York until somebody bought them all up and consolidated them. They call them public utilities, but when this happens, there's somebody making money and they can hide stuff. But I'm saying that, and see, this is the thing: the carburation process they use to produce oil gas. They have oil gas, producer gas, and synthetic gas that they made on the way back in the early 1900s that were different processes to produce gas to put through the lines. And there were several people who had patents where they would make these for people's homes. And that, like I said, I don't think that was the best solution, but the solution they came up with, and one key point to where they were working to build this system that built our cities we have now. Of course, there were pirates who were working to create our water utilities, too, to bring our water from miles and miles away into our cities and to buy up land and property right-of-ways to make it possible to collect money from people inside the cities. So, I mean, that's just another utility. It's just another portion of this conversation. But back to producing oil gas for gas utilities in urban areas, the process they have and they use at the utility company, one important feature was the National Meter Company made a way to meter it, because people were paying for gas hookups then, and they were just paying for the hookup. They weren't metering usage, and that was an innovation, the meter. We have a break coming up.
Yeah, and I've got a couple very short comments about what you said. Just exclamation points. Charles, your class is absolutely brilliant. Brilliant, and I applaud you for the research and the presentation today. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
What? Today, God, you're
take my.
When you go to
the for 2 seconds during.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Charles, let's have three very quick comments. When our son was about 4 years old, I asked him, so what do you want to be when you grow up? He said, well, Dad, that's easy. I want to be a toll collector. Why am I telling you this? Because he said, when I asked him why, he said, Dad, people drive up, give you money, and leave. So at age four, he figured this out. He didn't have all the fine points of it, but he figured out that was the best job in the world, to set up a toll booth. Next thing, externalization. So what happens with nuclear power is promised at a very, very low rate per kilowatt. But what's not told is later on, when you have all of this highly deadly radioactive waste that will never disappear in your lifetime or anyone you know or for tens of thousands of years, what do you do with it? It's called externalization. You make the generally dumb public pay for the containment of this forever toxic radioactive waste. Next thing, you mentioned, I believe you mentioned wood and tar gas. Class, literally, I'm not kidding. So let's say you have a wood stove. Let's say it's an outside wood furnace. And you have a chimney. You can literally take a gasoline-powered generator, you know, the kind that you'd like to have for an emergency. You could literally take the smoke from that chimney, plumb that into a big filter, and that might be a 55-gallon drum filled with straw. And you filter that smoke with 55-gallon drum filled with straw. You get the generator to start with gasoline. Then you switch it over to burn the smoke, and it will burn the smoke and run on the smoke. Any comments to any of those things that I mentioned, Charles?
Absolutely. Like I say, that every comment you make and everything I speak about takes me off in four more directions, which only serves to confuse me. But anyway, I'd like to just say, mention, you were talking about efficiency, which ties in. There's a thing called a code generator. What it is like a 5,000 kilowatt generator, 5-horse engine that you would use for emergencies. It's built into your home and uses natural gas. And what it is like I was saying earlier, you're lucky to get 30 cents worth of useful work out of your engine as an engine. An engine makes a better furnace than it does an automobile engine because it will heat your home's water, it will generate electricity and hot water all in one unit, and you end up, when they do their math on it, you get like 120% out of the efficiency of the fuel you're using. And you can buy these now, but the way they put the throttle on it is they require you to synchronize your device to the 60 hertz on the grid. And, you know, that's something they may – that's what the government does. It's consolidation and to make everybody sing out the same songbook at the same time. And the about the toll roads, that's the way they get us. I'm talking about government, is they build these roads with our money, and they tell us, they tell everybody when they put here in Ohio, they said, this toll road, we're going to install it, it's going to be paid for in 20 years, and it's going to be free after that. Well, guess what? 20 years is up. Oh, we need some maintenance. Oh, we need some more maintenance. Oh, we got to increase the toll. And like you say, nuclear power, they did the same thing. They said, nuclear power is going to be so cheap, we won't even have to meter it anymore. And what do we end up with? And they did the same thing with satellite television, which I believe it's there. They could give it to us for free, but why should they when they can make us pay? They do the same thing over and over again. And that's my point with the cities. And again, let's see. In 1855, they were making gas from coal, but manufactured gas began in New York in 1823 when New York Gas Company received a charter from the state legislature to light parts of Manhattan. And in 1851, they were laying underground pipes for a gas line. And I mean, like I say, it's the men who built the city. They had a vision, and it worked. I mean, that's why we have these cell phones and computers and televisions. I mean, good came out of what they did, but I mean, do I agree with? I just, like I say, this, I'm only starting on this part of the research. I mean, it's just.
Charles, we have to do this. We have to do this more often. Class, in about 1963, I had an instructor. His name was Isaac Asimov, and he's a brilliant physicist, atomic physicist. And he said, with nuclear power, energy will be so cheap, it'll be powering everything in your house. In 1963, that's what he told me in a small class of young people. My grandparents' electric bill around that time was $7 a month. How much is your electric bill now? And what can you do without electricity?
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.